I'm about to give you the gift of a lifetime.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 2, Episode 26, Things to Do on a Rainy Day. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Tara and Dave.
I feel like this is one of the episodes where if people could name, like, if they were challenged to name five episodes of 90210, this would definitely be in most people's five.
Or two.
Yeah, that's true. Dead Scott and this one.
Yeah.
But it also occurred to me that this probably is one of the ones that's not on Hulu because it contains all of the original Color Me Bad songs. On the other hand... Color Me Bad might have been like, oh, no, that's okay. You can have them. Like, they're not doing anything with them and neither is anyone else. So maybe they were liberal with their rights on that one. Who knows?
That one has been stuck in my head for 3 days now, though. It's so annoying.
Which one? The main one? I'm going to suck
Dream
you up. Oh, that one. The one that leads the episode. Well, we're not there yet. Let's start with our B plot. The guys are bored. It is raining in L.A. This is a thing that used to happen. Ask your parents. The Walsh parents are heading out for a big day, as we hear in clip number two.
Well, guys, we're off.
Well, where are you going on this fine sunny day?
Oh, we're going to the museum for a lecture on Shaker furniture, followed by an authentic Shaker lunch.
Followed by an afternoon of Shaker music. Want to come?
Have fun, Dad.
Oh, my God. That is like the dowdiest activity anyone has ever thought of. I tip my hat to Neil. Well done.
I mean, I have to say, would I go and see an exhibit of Shaker furniture? I admit, I totally would. A lecture about it? No, thank you. Who wants to go and sit and get talked to about fucking chairs?
And what is in a Shaker lunch?
Yeah, that was my question,
Reeds?
Too.
Boneless birds? I don't... Things that were shaken?
Yeah, shake and bake.
Maybe they're martinis. Sold.
So naturally, as soon as Brandon's parents are gone, the guys get out their LA Weekly, not identified, and look up an ad for massage services. But something else has caught Steve's eye in clip number three.
Wait a second. I saw an ad for strippers, too.
Steve, what's the big deal? It's a naked lady. Have you never seen one?
Hey, seeing a genuine exotic dancer is a milestone for a young man, okay?
Thank you, Dr. Expert.
I happen to have gone to two of my cousin's bachelor parties this year, and they were all world, I might add.
No, I guess that makes you a veritable Rob Lowe, doesn't it?
Okay, can you... what does he say? And they were all world or old world? What does he say?
All worlds. I actually thought that was a pretty good term.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
Just nationally ranked.
Oh. All
worlds. Olympic.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And I'd also like to give a shout out to my man's earrings, Jersey accent right there.
Yeah.
Saw an Amphis strippers too. Oh, did you? Jabroni.
I feel like a Shaker not knowing what the hell he was talking about, because I was like, is he saying like they went around the world? Like they did a full, like I thought it was some kind of prostitution thing. And then I was like,
there was a dirndl? I don't get it.
They were old world, like they had armpit hair. Like I seriously had no idea what he was even talking about. I'm not even kidding.
No, I think he said all world, that's a sports thing.
That's definitely what I heard, but yes, that would make sense of why I'm not familiar with that phrase in this context. Moving on from your Amish.
This has been Zeering Translation Hour. We're your hosts.
So back on the paper, Steve picks up Brandy and then picks up the paper and sniffs it like a fucking creep.
Oh,
so
God.
Gross. And then picks up the phone and calls Brandy for an appointment. And Brandon and Dylan are just standing there like seeming like they think this is a totally dorky idea, yet also not stopping him at all. And just to back up, since I sort of breezed over it with my all world question, I just love that Rob Lowe is a referent for shame then as now. Good job, Rob Lowe. You're an embarrassment in two different decades. Yeah. So later, Steve starts clearing space in the living room for the stripper to perform. Dylan acts superior, but admits that he is staying because he is a human male, and then makes this Elvis face, which you had it in the visual aids as a still clip, but I gift it because I'm a nerd. So you can see that in the visual aids. And then Brandon starts to have second thoughts in clip number 4.
I don't know. You know, this is my parents' house. She's supposed to do her thing right here while my mom aerobicizes.
It's a little bit funny. Sorry.
Yeah. Aerobicizes. Also, good point. Yeah. And this is the point at which I was confusing it briefly with, Risky Business.
Where
his first call gets him a... what is the actor's name? It doesn't matter. It's definitely not Lana who shows up the first time. And he's like, I know what you need, white boy. And I was really kind of hoping something like that would happen this time because I forgot that actual Brandy shows up and is cute. So
she does. But first, the doorbell rings. And Brandon is extremely nervous and awkward about getting the door. But it's Andrea. Somehow she's in like a full... fucking yellow slicker with matching rain hat like the Gorton Zuckerman as we have in the visual aids. She has invited herself over without calling. Like, I know this was before texting, but she could have phoned. Like, it would take her a while to get there from her house. She totally could have called to even make sure they were actually going to be there. But whatever.
In the pouring rain. She only cares if Brandon is there because she wanted to do like extra nerding on the paper. And once it's clear that he's there with Dylan and Steve and they're not into it, leave.
Yeah, she cannot tell that she's not welcome. Like, obviously no one says, oh, you should leave, we have a stripper coming over. But at the same time, like, no one is welcoming or acting like they want to hang out with her at all. Totally oblivious. Later, when we rejoin the storyline, Steve tries to cancel Brandy, but she's already on her way. Brandon tries to get rid of Andrea, who, for someone who wanted to talk Blaze, is just sitting, which a lot of parents read, is just sitting around with a magazine, which Sarah clipped it for the visual aids, Anthropology Weekly. Sure, that would be in the Walsh house. Not at all.
Well, or that's exist. Probably how Cindy heard about this afternoon of shaker-related napping.
True. So Andrea's coming back from the kitchen when Brandy rings the doorbell, and so Andrea ends up being the one to let her in. Dylan claims that Brandy is Cindy's niece or cousin or some shit, and there's business with her coat. Like, they think she's going to be naked under it, which of course she isn't. She is a normal person. Although I have to say, a backless halter dress is a bit much as a daytime look. Just me, perhaps. It's in the visual.
And how does the reporter Andrea Zuckerman not figure out that, like, this cousin did not just drop by in a backless halter dress to hang out and read Anthropology Weekly like some people?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a dress where you see it and you're like, oh, she's definitely a stripper or some kind of sex worker. But it is, like, you know, it's a lot for a rainy day. She's, you know, like, one third naked at least already before she even starts.
Yeah. Well, and this whole plot is just
so stupid
to watch because there's absolutely no way that Andrea wouldn't figure something out, even Andrea.
Yes, they are terrible and ham-handed at lying, as is customary on TV, unfortunately. Then we just keep having them realize that they need to get Andrea out of there, like, you know, and that not actually be able to do it because Andrea is fascinated talking to Brandy, who's pursuing a master's of social work at UCLA. She also has a son and she's married. And later still, the guys look so blank that I had to clip it for the visual aids because it's hilarious. As Brandy tells them about how great it was in the Peace Corps, and that's where she met her husband. He is a novelist. She's also supporting him. Great. Good life choices, Brandy. Dylan is interested when she says that her husband's book is called The Zen of Surfing, but then Andrea has to go. She's happy to have met Brandy and would love to talk to her more. And as soon as she's gone, Brandy's ready to get down to business. In keeping with the A story of this episode, her song of choice is I Want to Sex You Up. And Steve offers 80-yard encouragement for a while until Brandon turns off the music in clip number 5.
Is something wrong?
No. Nothing. I don't know. It's like you're kind of our friend now, you know?
Don't worry. It doesn't embarrass me or anything.
Yeah, I know. But I just kind of feel weird about it now. Bad timing, huh?
Yeah. What do you say, Steve? Let's pay up, call it a day. All right, I guess you guys are right. No offense, but I guess it would be kind of bizarre to see you naked now. Now that we know you so well. But,
That's healthy.
Thanks.
Uh-oh, hi, Jinx.
Hi.
This is Jim and Cindy Hello. Coming home.
Hi, I'm Brandy.
Hi.
And nice to meet you.
I'm Cindy's cousin.
Oh.
Steph. Yeah, the thing that didn't occur to me until I was listening to this clip this time is that Brandy didn't show up at this house with three guys, admittedly teenage guys, and she could probably take all of them, but like that this is not a party that she's going to be working. Like, maybe this is not a cool situation to stay at without anyone to look out for her. You know, obviously Andrea was there for most of it and these three guys aren't going to assault her or anything, but you know, it's a sketchy situation.
Well, and since your husband apparently has nothing better to do except think novelty thoughts, maybe he could drive you and sit in the kitchen with his typewriter?
Yeah.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm. Good point. But that would be a different kind of show if it suggested that this woman was going to show up and get raped by three teenagers. And that show is SVU. So moving on. Later, the group breaks up and Brandon gets away with the weirdness of what just happened by claiming that Brandy is the cousin of a totally different Cindy. Then even later still, we find out maybe Brandon did not get away with it at all in clip number 6.
Oh, by the way, Steve's cousin left her business card.
I'm a little late for work, Dad.
Brandon, in 2 years, remind me to tell you about my bachelor party.
More hijinks. In how many years? 2 years. So bad.
I mean, it's so obvious on both the visual and the audio. Mm-hmm. And also more with the my boy fucking attitude. Like, gross.
Yeah. So even though he gets...
If you'd come home and found a Chippendale at the house, Brenda would have to live on the roof.
And it's raining, so that would be a real bad time. Before we move on to the A story, the main event, Color Me Bad / Felice's secret. Here's this.
This ad is brought to you by the Pelfrey Foundation. The sun provides us so much. It keeps us warm. It lights our days.
Oh, no.
It makes our plants grow.
Oh, no.
And it gives our skin that healthy tan. But the best thing the sun does is dry grapes. Into nature's best candy.
No!
Raisins.
No!
Raisins, the best fruit, the tastiest fruit, our forever fruit. Raisins, the official fruit of Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210, until someone buys an ad to tell us otherwise. Raisins!
And now the A story.
I'm so disgusted. And grateful for your business,
yes.
But also disgusted.
Thank you to the Pelfrey Foundation. That was very unexpected, but we accept. Ugh. Moving on. Color Me Bad / Felice's Secret. So we open the episode with Color Me Bad and their truly heinous 90s fashions. You cannot conceive of what we're talking about until you go to the visual aids and look, because someone said yesterday, if you boiled the 90s down to a broth, that would be what is left. And that is 100% true.
That is so true. And I will say, the one guy who does the bulk of the acting lifting, Brian, I guess.
Brian Abrams. Mm-hmm.
Is actually quite charming, but his eyebrows, like somewhere Samurai Jack is like, who took my fucking eyebrows? Well, it was Brian Abrams.
So this video is on, we see at the Peach Pit, Donna is all about Color Me Bad. She's asking who Kelly thinks is her favorite. Kelly doesn't have a favorite because she doesn't know who any of them are. Kelly is kind of the real rock star of this episode.
Totally.
There's talk of David trying to get them comp tickets for this show that's coming up, although it's also a pay-per-view event, so a lot of this is stake-free anyway. And later, just to be sure about the tickets, Kelly and Brenda and Donna are trying to win them in a radio contest. Kelly is really not into it and reminds them about this pay-per-view thing the next night, so who gives a shit, essentially. And then Felice comes in, her hair is on maximum fluff. It really looks quite different from the condom episode. That one looked like a short long cut. This one looks like a long short cut. It's like just way shorter on the sides. Anyway, you can see it in the visual aids. She comes in to tell Donna where she's definitely, totally going for realsies in clip number 7.
Donna, I'm going to another one of those marathon planning meetings for the hospital charity.
Okay.
For all I know, it could go well into the night, so...
Right, okay, that's fine. I'm sleeping at Brenda's.
Well, if your father calls from the Houston conference, would you tell him?
I know that you'll be late.
She finally pays attention to what they're actually doing, and when she hears that the show is going to be at the Whiskey a Go-Go, she denies that they can go because that place is kind of seedy, and we're about to find out Felice knows from seedy.
Mm-hmm.
Later, the girls are doing their nails when David rolls in. A patient of Mel's knows where the band is staying. It's obviously at the Bellage because there is no other hotel in Los Angeles. And Kelly doesn't want to go try and find them because at least she's staying consistent. But of course, they all end up going. And when they get there, a million other randos are also staking out the hotel. Their limo rolls up. Somehow everyone can tell that they are in it, even though I would think limos pull up to the hotel all the time. But anyway, a bodyguard in the world's most conspicuous jacket ushers them in. The girls plus David try to follow, but a security guard stops them and says they can only get in if they're registered guests, which, by the way, is not how hotels work. And the girls lose faith, but David has an idea and soon enough is coming back out with room keys for everyone. There's exposition about
actual keys.
Actual keys, because like it's the 90s. Yep. There's exposition about how he got a room, even though he's not 21. And then Donna runs into Felice and minor stuff ensues in clip number 8.
Donna, what are you doing here?
David has a room here.
What?
I mean, David and his father have a room here. See, their house is being fumigated, so they checked into the hotel for the night, and that's why they have a room here.
Just me and my dad.
Oh.
Aren't you supposed to be at some charity thing or something?
I am. It's here. We just broke for lunch.
Oh. Well, we're just picking up David. And here he is.
But I forgot something, so I've got to go get it. The thing.
Right, and then we're leaving.
Okay, well, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, this seems legit. Everyone here is super great at lying. Good job all around.
Ugh.
Donna, for some reason, is suspicious, has a premonition about what's about to happen. She follows Felice, but so far, everything seems to be on the up and up. And in the hotel room, these rich kids are behaving as though they've never been in a hotel before. Kelly clowns around with the robe, and Brenda thinks the fact that the egg rolls in the room service menu are $25 must mean that they are amazing. Not the
Think
case.
Again.
Yep, that's not how it works. Donna starts to have second thoughts now that she's seen her mother and thinks that Felice is going to figure out that Donna lied about the hotel room and why they're there. And then Brenda pulls the rookie move of calling the front desk and asking for Brian from Color Me Bad. Surprise, that does not work. Obviously, no one in that name is registered. But David has a good workaround, which is asking for the band's manager, because he figures that guy will be on the same floor as the band. But the front desk won't tell him what floor that is, and the call doesn't last long enough for him to get any more information. So they decide to stake out the lobby, but Don is worried about being spotted there. And then in the lobby, God, there's so much stuff. There's just looks over, stupid sleuthing moves and glancing.
Indoor sunglasses.
Indoor sunglasses.
Casio and people hiding in ficuses.
And behind magazines. Ugh. Donna is in these shorts, which I already have written about on the site, and I will link it in the show notes. But they appear to be knit. As I wrote in the post, they're like a sweater for her butt. They are hot pants. They are Argyle. They match her sweater. This time watching, I was not convinced that that was not just a super stretchy neck on the turtleneck and that it's actually like a knit romper, because they really possibly could be one piece, but whatever. You're going to see a lot of Donna's butt in this episode.
And here's the thing. She does have the butt for it. Like,
she
that
does.
Was a look. At that time,
mm-hmm.
She does have the butt for it. I don't hate the sweater part.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, why? Any other episode, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But the episode in which she is confronting her mother about her mother's cheating.
Yeah.
Why? Like, you need to have both your cheeks covered up. I feel like that's parental infidelity confrontation 101.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. So they end up in the back of the hotel in like the service halls or whatever. And they figure they'll because they can't get up to the penthouse in the original elevator. But they figure in the service elevator, they'll be able to get through, and they discuss what they're going to talk about when they meet, which they definitely will in clip number 9.
I'm going to ask them what their favorite color is.
Oh, their favorite color is bad, of course.
I just love that line reading. It's so charming.
It is. Finally, when they get to the service elevator, it's also locked. Kelly takes the keys off a maid cart and gets separated from Brenda and Donna. Donna bails at this point. She doesn't want to break the rules more than they already have, but Kelly is determined. Brenda and David stuff with stairs. They end up outside in the rain, blah, blah, blah. Donna is then alone on their floor, going back to what they've all agreed if they get separated, that the room is home base, obviously. And so she's on her way back there when clip number 10.
I am ready for dessert. How about you?
Ew.
Yes. I hate it when that's obviously Felice in the hallway, like making out with some guy who is not Dr. Martin, because he is in Houston, as we heard. I hate it when you get a scene like that and you're like, oh, those are the noises that actor really makes. It's just gross.
Yeah.
And that was a good example of that. So yeah, Felice is having an affair. There is no hospital charity event. Donna is scandalized. And after the commercial, poor Tori Spelling has to try to cry back in the room. She just can't at all. She's even worse at fake crying than Ian Ziering, if you can believe that. And so she calls her dad in Houston, but she doesn't get him, leaves a message that he should urgently call her. And then meanwhile, Kelly is on the band's floor and runs into a skank that she had seen outside before. And we hear their conversation in clip 11.
So, who's are you?
No one. Whose are you?
Nobody's.
Yet.
Which one are you interested in?
Doesn't matter. Any of them?
All of them?
I don't get it. What do you want from them?
You know.
Really?
To party.
Oh.
How do you know they want to party with you?
Most of the bands do. What the hell? It's worth a try, right?
Different strokes.
Oh. And what are you doing here? Don't exactly look like their accountant or nothing to me.
No, I'm not a groupie or anything. See, me and my friends thought it would be fun to see if we could get in here and meet the band.
Then what?
That's all.
I mean, the skank kind of makes a good point. What is the plan after you meet them? Like, if you're not going to blow them, what is the point of any of this, really?
True. I mean, the line reading of accountant or nothing... Just, I can't.
Yeah, she's not great.
No.
The girl claims that she sees a cop, and Kelly hurries off, and in the corner of the hall, she finds, going mano a mano with a pop machine, Brian in the dumpiest jeans ever. Please go to the visual aids and see.
Like, literally, it looks like there is a dump, at least a dump, inside of them. He is trying to, like, remove it via the pant leg. It's not good.
Yeah. I mean, admittedly, this was a time of baggy jeans, but they, like, cut it. His proportions are weird, or the pants are just doing him no favors because he looks like he has dwarf legs, and I am not joking. So Kelly offers him a crisp bill and craps on him for not thanking her, and then she does not even recognize him until he introduces himself by his full first and last name, and then she gets excited because some knowledge of Color Me Bad has just gotten in by osmosis. But you know what, guys? Stars, they're just like us. And we hear that in clip number 12.
Is everything okay?
Yeah, everything's fine.
You know, we have people to do things for you.
Where is my runner? You know, I'm gonna can his butt.
Right, really. You know, I like to get my own soda once in a while.
Oh, it's all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Since you heard Brian speak in that clip, Omar has let us know on Twitter they were from Oklahoma. Is that a traditional Oklahoma accent? Because I'm thinking, no.
And whatever was going on with that British accent,
yeah,
can stop anytime.
Mm-hmm.
And actually did stop several times in the 3 lines that guy had. No.
Yeah. Brian offers Kelly a pass for the show later once she knows who he is. And she says she can't, explaining it's because she has 3 friends. So he says he'll hook them all up. Kelly can't convey this information yet. Brenda and David come back to their room screaming at each other, totally oblivious to the fact that Donna is hugging a pillow on the bed and essentially nonverbally begging them to ask her what's wrong. She tells them where Kelly went up to the penthouse. Brenda wants to go after her immediately, but Donna and her butt cleavage try to talk them out of it. But David is determined and really wants to make this happen for Donna. And then Kelly is hanging out with the band, admitting that she's not a huge fan and that she isn't a groupie. And she asks what it's like to have fans, and the answer is in clip 13.
I love it personally, but I don't know what you think.
Scary.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong, because, you know, we definitely love meeting our fans. It's just when a large crowd of people come at you at one time, you know, it could get kind of confusing.
But we're not complaining or anything. I mean, that's what we've always wanted, so.
Sometimes it's just easier to stay up here, you know.
Yeah, what he said.
All these guys in this band sound like they're all doing a period-appropriate imitation of Michael Rapaport.
Oh, my God. Totally.
You are right.
So is it true what they said? You guys can't even go to a mall anymore without getting mobbed?
Sad, but true.
Well, mon Dieu! No, I'm personally sick of malls.
Really? I kind of miss it.
Two things about this. One, it's sad that they made the band do this when they clearly were like a 1.5 hit wonder. We're gonna not be famous like 2 months after this aired.
I really do feel they were everywhere for a while, but they were already starting to like not pass the sell by sniff test. Mm-hmm. By the time this episode dropped, it seemed a little dated.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And also, I mean, I know obviously Jenny Garth was playing a character, but she was probably like orders of magnitude more famous than any of these guys were at the time, which also makes this sort of ridiculous. But anyway.
But I love that they have her being like, so yeah, I'm not really a big fan of yours or anything. Like,
I know. Okay.
There was that little meta gloss on it.
Completely. And she doesn't back down either. She doesn't act like she's a big fan now that she's hanging out with them. Like, she keeps it real. Kelly does not front for anyone, not even Brian Abrams. Anyway, later downstairs, David and Brenda are nearly dry and ready to try again to make their assault on the band when Donna starts spitting out of control about having changed her mind. And then the phone rings and it's her dad because no one else has the number. And she loses her nerve to tell him what she saw and hangs up crying. Brenda finally notices that Donna is upset. So Donna spills that Fleece is having an affair. And when we come back to them later, David and Brenda are trying to convince Donna that she might have been wrong about what she saw, but she's not actually that dumb. David actually suggests that maybe her dad already knows and that Felice and Dr. Martin have an arrangement. which is a gross suggestion, and yet, you know, who knows? But that is an even more upsetting.
This is not a USA 10 p.m. drama,
no.
David Silver. Dial it back.
Yes. It's not that show that's constantly advertised when I'm trying to just watch my SVU's satisfaction. Anyway.
Dead satisfaction, you raisin.
This suggestion is even more upsetting to Donna, naturally, and she says she just wants to leave. So downstairs, I guess they're checking out so much for home base when Brenda hears there's a call for her, and it's Kelly bringing her up to date. And then Brenda brings her up to date. Kelly offers to come down, but Brenda says she's taking Donna home. And Brenda insists that Kelly go to the show because Donna would be furious if she let the tickets go to waste. And then Felice shows up in her default mode, which is furious, particularly since at this point, Brenda and Kelly are nowhere in sight. So it looks really bad that Donna is just hanging around a hotel lobby with David. But anyway, clip 14.
I thought you were going home hours ago.
How was your charity meeting?
I've been up to my ears in committees and budgets, and I asked you a question. What are you doing here?
No, Mother. What are you doing here? I saw you.
Yes, on my lunch break.
No. Room 622. I saw you, Mom.
I don't know what you saw.
You were laughing, and then you were kissing. It was in the hallway.
I don't think this is the time or the place.
Are you having an affair? Are you?
Donna, I will not let you speak to me this way.
Then just answer me. Are you, Mom?
But...
I forget to leave some of the music in. Also, in the middle of that confrontation, there's also a boom mic, in case you were wondering. Yes, that guy still works. And yes, you can see in the visual aids. So,
well, in his defense, imagine how many takes they had to do just to get that D+ out of Tori Spelling. Like, she's really trying. It's really bad.
Yeah, this is not the character to have given the storyline to, sadly. Anyway, the Walshes are doing a puzzle in silence. They don't even have, like, the radio on when Brenda and Donna come home. Felice has already called looking for Donna, and after Brenda clears the news for broadcast, she starts to explain, but then Donna takes over and announces that Felice is having an affair. Sarah has clipped such a great screenshot of Cindy looking horrified. Like, as the file name says, she's having an affair, not with a goat. Calm it down, Cindy. It's really fine.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like, yes, it's bad. It's upsetting for Donna.
Of course.
But it's Beverly Hills. It's not really that shocking, but the face... I just think Carol Potter was so fucking bored that she's like, we did shaker music, yeah, and now we're doing a puzzle. And yeah, then I guess we're going to have missionary sex in which I will be choking on someone's chest hair. Please give me something to do. I guess I'll make all the silent movie horror faces. And
yeah.
Like, she's not a necrophiliac.
No.
Please bring it down a few notches. Just a few.
Also, this reminded me for some reason when you were speaking that at the point when this episode was filmed, what did we figure out Catherine Cannon actually was age-wise, like 37?
39.
So younger than both of us are right now, and she seems like the mommiest mom that ever mommed in Momtown.
Yeah. And she, I mean, good cheekbones. Like, it's just absolutely 90s styling.
Yeah.
That there was this huge... I mean, whatever. I'm sure there's a master's thesis to be written about generation gaps having shifted in the last 20 years and whatever. But as Taro so eloquently put it on IM yesterday, 40 was the new 58. So, yeah.
Yeah, you will be shocked when you look at this. I mean, I hope. If you're an actual young person, you might be like, no, that's what 39 looks like. But, like... She looks older than my mother is now, and that's saying something. I mean, not that my mom looks old, but she's older than 39, obviously. Anyway, Brenda is awkwarder than that transition, but Cindy calms her down by saying they don't have to figure this out right now. Donna wishes the Martins could be more like the Walshes and says, your family never changes, and completely doesn't pick up on the significant look, capital S, capital L, that passes between Jim and Cindy because they know better. Anyway, Cindy goes to get the door when the doorbell rings. It's Felice brightly asking for Donna like nothing's happening. Donna comes out of the kitchen and Cindy gives him privacy in the front hall. Donna threatens to tell Dr. Martin, but Felice is not trying to hear that, and they fight some more in clip 15.
Look, Donna, things happen in a marriage that are hard to understand.
You want me to understand? I understand you. I understand what a hypocrite you are.
Donna...
Like when the whole condom issue came up, weren't you the one who went on and on about abstinence? God, you wouldn't even let me go to a concert tonight because it was, what'd you say, too seedy?
Donna, do not raise your voice at me.
Why? Because God forbid someone might think that I'm angry. You care more about appearances, Mom, than how anyone feels. Well, I'm angry and I am not going to hide it for appearances' sake.
All right, Donna, I am not going to speak to you until you calm down.
Fine, then don't. Just... go. And I hope you and your boyfriend have a wonderful life. Felice.
That's such an excellent capper. That's like such a teenager thing to say. That's the worst thing I could do. Call my mom by her first name. But also, as you heard in that clip, there's a point where it's slightly muffled. And that's because, hilariously, we cut to the kitchen where Jim and Cindy and Brenda are all sitting around the table, like 100% eavesdropping on this fight. In silence, which is exactly what I would be doing, which is kind of hilarious. You can see the GIF. There's Tori Spelling freaking the fuck out in silent movie mode, and then cut to all the Walshes sitting there quietly being like, this is the best thing that's ever happened to us. Why didn't
Not
we just
even
stay
moving,
here?
Lest the sound of a puzzle piece drown out some juicy dirt. It's the best.
Yeah. Fuck the Shakers. The Martins are where it's at. Anyway, Donna ends with more bad fake crying. Cindy comes out into Felice's face-saving lies and offers to let Donna stay there until, you know, things calm down. Felice lets her do it. Neither Cindy nor Felice obviously admit they both know exactly what is actually going on. And after Felice is gone, Donna comes out. Cindy makes sure Donna knows that Felice loves Donna, regardless of what's happening in Felice's own life. And Donna repeats that Cindy is essentially the best at being married. So Cindy sits her down on the stairs to let's rap about the affair that she almost had in season one when Jim was being
main clip.
So absentee. and she ends by repeating her reassurance for Donna in clip 16.
But one thing I know absolutely for sure. You don't stop loving your children.
And Cindy would know her children can't stop giving her reasons to stop loving them. They suck.
Yes.
later, Brandon is getting ready.
Lock the door, Brandon.
Brandon's getting ready for work, having been brought up to speed by Brenda. And Jim hilariously joins them for the gossip sesh, which I kind of love. And later still, Felice comes down and finds Donna in like the man cave. There's like a bar and I don't know what this room is, but it's clearly where Dr. Martin hangs out. If he exists, we have seen no evidence of that yet.
I think there's like a bear head mounted in there somewhere. It's weird.
There's like a cocktail tray on the wall that's like personalized to the Martins. It's like very like late 70s rec room looking, except the furniture. Anyway, Donna wants to know, does Felice still love Dr. Martin? Of course. And she loves Donna too. Then how could she? Felice tries to explain in clip 17.
Donna, this is hard for me too. What happened this afternoon? It's the worst nightmare I could ever imagine. I feel like all your faith in me has been destroyed.
Yes.
And I feel like I've suddenly asked you to grow up much too fast.
Mom, I am grown up. I've been grown up. Catching you with some guy didn't suddenly make me an adult.
Especially when I found out it was a dead body.
Yeah, it's
everybody,
just some
please
guy.
Please take some breaths. Ugh.
Yeah. Like, and the other thing about this, too, is like, I mean, there's obviously the part where Felice is a gigantic hypocrite because of her, you know, no sex stuff. And now she's fucking some other guy. But also, it's not like Donna and Felice had a super close relationship that Felice has violated by doing this behind her back. Like, they're not the Gilmore Girls. This is, you know, really an oversized reaction to what's happening, but whatever. Donna asks what's going to happen to their family. Felice says that she will tell Dr. Martin. She doesn't want Donna to keep that secret, so that's something, I guess. But beyond that, she knows she loves Donna, and nothing will change that. Donna begs her to work things out with Dr. Martin. And then later, David shows up to see if Donna wants to come to the Peach Pit. She thinks she should stay, but Felice tells her she should go and hang out with her friends. And Donna does, but first, clip 18.
I love you.
I know.
Oh, she totally Han Solo'd her mom.
My question about this section is this, knowing what we're about to find out, which, yes, whatever, everyone knows what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Did, like, David is obviously trying to get her to come with him.
Right.
But did he sort of arrange with Felice beforehand to be like, you got to let her go because, like, did he know what Kelly was going to do? Because my feeling was he was trying to get Donna to the Peach Pit because he knew.
I thought if this were happening now, I think there's no way that David wouldn't know. But because this is from the past, like, Kelly's been at the show. So I don't think they necessarily know that she, I mean, they know that she met them. They know she went to the show. They certainly don't know that she's bringing them back to the Peach Pit, I believe. That's my feeling. So I think he just is like, wanted to come and take her out, even though drama's happening.
And it was just bad direction? Okay.
Yeah. Totally.
Neil?
So finally, at the Peach Pit, Brandon is bringing everyone their orders. Don has a completely disgusting sundae with, like, who fucking puts jelly beans on a sundae? Gross. But anyway, Kelly comes in after the show as we've just...
ice cream.
Pardon?
She put popcorn in ice cream. You'd think she'd have better taste.
Yeah. True.
With these rando concoctions, which I'm sure was free. 'Cause, no, it's
No doubt. And then Kelly comes in from the show, and things wrap up in clip 19.
I wanted to think of a way to cheer you up. Anyway, I met these guys, and they're really, really nice. And they wanted to know where they could get the best hamburgers after the concert. So I invited them here. They're waiting outside. I'll just go get them.
Ladies and gentlemen, four Michael Rappaports.
Oh my God, it's the band.
Oh my God. Donna, these are my friends. Kevin, Mark, Brian, and Sam.
Hello, how you doing?
This is Brenda and Donna and Brandon.
What's up, guys?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, and David Silver.
Thank you.
What's up, man? So all of you go to Beverly Hills High?
Where's
no one cares.
Yeah. Oh my God, I can't believe they're here and they're actually eating hamburgers. Well, actually, I was going to make them sing for their supper.
It is standard operating procedure around here, guys.
Shut up, Brandon.
Well, shut up.
Stop trying to be part of this.
Dream on, dream away. I think I'm gonna have to stay forever.
Mi amor, tu estrella, brilla siempre.
Oh no.
Y este sueño contigo será realidad. Te quiero mucho, baby. Te quiero mucho, mi amor.
You know I love you, yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's it just reminds me of that the extras episode with Chris Martin. Like, Chris Martin, what are you doing here? It's mental. Anyway. Because it's always awkward when this kind of thing happens, when you have celebrities on and they're playing themselves. And this is no exception. But anyway, Donna feels better. And that's the end of our...
Oh, my God.
America's love affair with Color Me Bad.
That is like the... I think that is like a 90s Inception, that episode. Just so many 90s-y things. Neckties, Color yep. Me Bad, actual room keys, mm-hmm. that they have to have a physical home base because someone has a cell phone.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
It's really a lot. It'll take you back.
Sure will.
So let's wrap it up. Who's the episode MVP? I said it already. Kelly is the best.
Totally Kelly. I also love that she, like, he didn't give her back her dollar, so she just, like, went in his front pocket and took it. Like, that girl. Despite the talk about 90s. Oh, my God.
Yep.
My college uniform, baby doll dress, fluffy socks. Mm-hmm. Fake patent leather brogues.
Yep.
Gross.
See, if it was a little longer, it would be a total Elaine Bennis. This is like teen Bennis. But she also wears a very cute trench coat that you you coveted. She has like a white raincoat when they're staking out the hotel outside. All right. Least valuable player. I mean, I want to say Brandon, but he's not as gross as everyone else in this one, surprisingly. I guess. I don't know. Wait, I forgot. He hired a stripper. No, it is Brandon. Brandon had a stripper come over. Didn't talk Steve out of having her perform where his mom aerobicizes. That's my pick.
And also was a creepy weirdo about the fact that she shouldn't strip because now they know her. Like, ew.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be weird to see you naked now that we're friends. Okay.
Well, that's a good segue to the Moomer Parker challenge.
Oh, wait.
What? What?
My LVP is actually wardrobe.
Oh, I'm sorry.
For the record.
Oh, God. Yeah. Good call. I thought you were agreeing with me.
Uh-oh.
I thought you were agreeing with me about Brandon. Okay, I'm done.
That's three lives, guys. So this got to make this count because Pac-Man only starts with three. So
5 reasons from this episode that Brandon could have ended up dead. I mean, if Brandy were a real stripper and she had come with her bodyguard, he could have strangled Brandon for hooking this whole thing up and then making Brandy sit around for a million hours while Andrea talked to her about the Peace Corps.
Yeah, that's true. Or sitting on him, because those dudes are always named Tiny and built like Faison Love. He could have been compelled to attend Shaker Fest, and
that's what
his
I was
heart
gonna say.
Could have stopped from boredom.
That's exactly what I was about to say. He could have.
He could have tasted Donna's disgusting ice cream concoction and barfed himself inside out.
Yeah. He could have died of embarrassment if one of the guys in the band tried to call him out for acting like he didn't know who they were and they were just some dudes. And he had to admit that he did, and he was just trying to act like a cool dude, not good.
He could have not eaten our official fruit, raisins, and he would lack the antioxidants to really stave off cancer in his later years.
Thank you, Dave, and thank you, raisins.
Oh.
That's another episode of Raisin Powered Again with This, and I don't mean Felice. Next time, a grounded Brenda sneaks out all the way to Mexico with Dylan, while Kelly and Melrose Jake give new meaning to the term backdoor pilot.
Oh!
Watch Jake erect a gazebo and all sorts of other visual aids from that episode and all the other episodes of Beverly Hills 90210 that we cover at previously.tv. You can also follow us on Twitter at previouslytv. I'm at Tomato Nation. My esteemed co-host Tara Ariano is, surprisingly, at Tara Ariano. And you can peep Clark on Instagram. His actual name is Dave Cole, at Clark. Almost got through that without fucking up. Oh well. See you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeperoni.